Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Golf Unfiltered Podcast, your source for in-depth interviews with the biggest names, brands, and personalities in golf. Our mission? To keep you informed and help you enjoy the game even more.
All right. Hello, friends. We have such a special episode for you today. Longtime listeners will remember as we head into the first men's major of the season that we like to celebrate our Masters Week mini series called Memoirs from Magnolia Lane. Just a quick reminder that this podcast mini series is in no way affiliated with, nor are we sponsored by Augusta National Golf Club, Masters Tournament, or any of its affiliates. Just getting that out of the way. So excited to kick off our third season of this series and introduce you to today's guest. You've probably seen her on NBC Sports or the Golf Channel interviewing your favorite player after their round. She's a former junior golfer, now playing in several pro-ams herself, including the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am multiple times. Mm-hmm. She's a dog mom to Steve. She's beauty, yeah. She's grace, she's Miss America 2015, the lovely, talented Keira K. Dixon. How are you today?
Hi, Nikki. I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here today. And I have so many things that I'm dying to chat with you about, including running into you last year in Augusta. Yeah. But before we get to all of that, for the last three seasons of this series, we have started each episode by asking all of our guests the same question, which is, what makes the Masters a quote unquote tradition unlike any other for you?
Well, I think that I grew up watching the Masters tournament every year. So to me, it was, well, and also my parents are foreign, they're Russian. So it was like a way for them to really understand what this whole golf thing was about, that they had decided that they were going to put their kid into without really knowing much about golf's culture or the majors or anything like that. They just saw it as this great American business skill that they thought that their kid should have. Mm. And the Masters almost bridged the gap for them of like, wow, this is the best of the best. This is golf. This is tradition. This is America. This is that quintessential, like everything that they came to America for type of thing, that big dream. So I've just always associated it with this just a dream. And that's what it is for so many people that get to participate in it. And for just those that get to be on the grounds.
I'm actually really glad that you mentioned that and talking about like the dream and especially kind of bridging that gap with the and how it's international. Last year, we actually took our son to the Drive, Chip and Putt for the first time. And it was my first time going to that event. But one of my favorite stories that came out of the Drive, Chip and Putt is a story that you actually got to cover about the then 12-year-old Drive, Chip and Putt finalist, Maya Gowden. I think I'm pronouncing that last name right. Maya Gowden. Yeah. It was such a powerful story. Like I get chills even thinking about it now, about how she grew up in poverty in Dubai and like just her resiliency and how she used golf to kind of, you know, power her. And, you know, she had that dream to come here and to play, and how she landed at Augusta and became friends with Rory. And it was such a great story that you got to tell. And what is it like for you being like on the storyteller end of tales like these, and having also been on the like on the kid side of that, having that dream, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I participated in Drive, Chip, and Putt as a junior golfer. So then when I was all of a sudden covering Drive, Chip, and Putt stories, I was like, oh my God, this is so full circle and so amazing. Because, you know, when I did little Drive, Chip, and Putt qualifiers as a kid, like it just was such a, looking back, it's, you know, such a nostalgia thing. It was so much fun. It was great competition against your friends. I never made it to the finals or anything like that. But being able to tell those stories is like, golf is a superpower.
Mm-hmm.
And then you as a storyteller are spreading that power and using that power for good. And, you know, my God and story just kind of sits there without the vehicle that we have at NBC Sports to be able to tell it. And there's so much responsibility that comes with that. I always think about, like, you know, let's say somebody, I primarily cover the PGA Tour. So let's say somebody wins on the PGA Tour. It's their first win. It's this huge, massive moment in their life. They might not ever win again. Like this could be it. Mm-hmm. And you are the person that's standing there facilitating the moment and letting them get their emotions out. You will forever be ingrained in this winning moment for them. They will always remember it, or they will always have the video to look back on. And like, there's a lot of pressure that comes with that and so much responsibility. But it's also like the best part of what we do is being able to be the vehicle by which the story gets told.
Yeah. That reminds me of the year that, that Tiger won again in 2019, how when that final putt dropped, it was just silence from Jim Nantz, because he knew, like, you don't interrupt a moment like that. And
totally.
you give it its time. And even the year that Hideki won, when his caddy went back out to get the flag, like there was some silence, like you give it its moment. And until it's time for you to step back up and give the story its breath and let the story take over, I think. But that's the job of the storyteller, I think. Mm-hmm. Which is so powerful. But I think back to the Drive, Chip, and Putt, coming from your point of view as a kid who competed in it, is that like, and then having told that story, were you like holding back tears a little bit? Was it like, I mean,
yeah, I mean, when I look through these scripts and I get to know those stories on a deeper level, like it's not just like another story or another script that we write. Like it's like I said, it's like a huge responsibility, and like I get invested into every single one. I cry every time somebody wins. I, you know, like you're a journalist and you're a storyteller, but you're also a human being, and
right.
You can't get truly excited about the story without allowing your emotion out just a little bit to be able to connect with the story, to empathize with the story and understand what a big deal it is. So yeah, absolutely. I kind of live and breathe for those types of moments, because they're such human things that, you know, you never know what kid somewhere in the world, due to, you know, Augusta is such an international presence, like that could be a life-changing 6 minutes on air that you won't ever know the impact of that until maybe one day they show up at Drive, Chip, and Putt national finals and they get to have their moment too.
Right. Now, kind of going back to last year a little bit, you and I ran into each other last year at the tournament. We saw a handful.
At the tree.
Yes, at the tree. Yes, meet at the tree. And the tree is a place where there's so many people that you run into. And we ran into a lot of other people that we know through golf media and golf Twitter. What was that? That was your first time actually being at Augusta and getting to walk the grounds, correct?
Yes.
Yes. What was that like for you, having grown up with such a love of that tournament and that course, and having gone to so many other incredible golf courses, just getting to walk into that gates for the first time?
Yeah, I think that my face was just in permagrin that day because I wasn't working the golf tournament. I was in town because I had a sponsor engagement, and it kind of was like I was lucky enough to get passes through my agency that reps me, which was very, very nice of them to set that up. And it was one of those, like, you know what, if I ever come back here, it will be for work. Mm-hmm. And this is probably a unique opportunity for me to go as a fan. Mm-hmm. There are very few, now that I cover golf for a living, like there are very few golf tournaments that I would want to go to just as a fan, just because, you know, you kind of know you're in the belly of the beast, you know how the sausage gets made. Like, right. You're just not as compelled to just show up to a golf tournament because that's literally what you do for work. Mm-hmm. But this obviously is a completely different thing. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get to live this dream that I've had since I was a kid to just enjoy Augusta. And I think that we walked through, I don't remember which gate exactly, but we walked through the gates, and, you know, of course it's all pristine and beautiful, and like touch the grass, it's perfect. And I think it was maybe we walked up to like 13 or 14, and Tiger, Rory, and Tom Kim were coming up the fairway, and it was like, of course, this is the group that we happen to run into first. And as you're walking up, as I'm walking in, my first 5 minutes on the grounds, like I'm watching these guys practice and, you know, getting, that was like the full experience right there. And like the first 5 minutes, I was like, okay, well, should we go? Like we did. And I was with my agent Cosette, and she was like, no, like we got to go like get a pimento cheese sandwich. Like right. Other things. I'm like, oh, okay, fine. So we ended up, you know, going and getting concessions and standing at different vantage points to like really take in just like how hilly it is and how intense the landscape is. Like, you do not get that on television, no matter how many times you've heard about it or seen it on TV. You know, going up to the tree and the first tee and the practice area, just everything was as advertised. And I had the best day as a fan, truly enjoying golf, and I loved curating my outfit for the moment. Like, it was just perfect. It was a perfect day.
Now, normally at golf tournaments, you know, you kind of touched on this being like having a fan experience versus like it was a work experience. And, you know, normally like you're kind of taking a cart from the media center out to a hole or something, or if you are walking, you can kind of blend into the crowd or something with your crew, camera crew. You know, what was it like being there, you know, and getting to walk through the crowd kind of as a fan and being in a place where if someone does recognize you, like they couldn't immediately like pull out a phone and snap a selfie or ask like, oh, hey, can I like get, you know, a picture with you or something?
Yeah.
Knowing that you have a little bit of like space, you know?
Yeah. Yourself. Well, I mean, I wouldn't consider myself to be in that like echelon of people, but I know like, you know, celebrities show up to that site, like Justin Timberlake will go, and like, it's the one tournament that he can really go to because there's not a million people mobbing him with cell phones for selfies. And like this audience is also like, just a bit different. So like, they're probably not, they're more interested in seeing the golf course and the golfers than they are about like, you know, insert celebrity,
right.
Which I would not consider myself to be on par with, but since this is a very educated golf audience, like sure. Like if they watch the Golf Channel, they've probably seen me, whatever. I had some very nice people come up and chat and say some lovely things. And I think that there were a few people that had like, you know, like it's a practice round. So they had their cameras that they had brought in. We took a couple of pictures, but like, there was so much joy, like, yeah, let's take a picture. Right. Certainly nothing wrong with that. You know, I'm there to celebrate just as much as you are, and we can celebrate the moment.
Yep. Now, you also mentioned like you curated your outfits for the day.
Yeah.
You and I share a pet peeve, and you've mentioned this on your social media channel before, but people not wearing sensible shoes to golf tournaments. You even started a series, I think, on your Instagram recently about like what to wear and what to know if you're going to certain tournaments.
Friends, don't let friends wear open-toed shoes or heels to golf tournaments.
Yeah. Yes. I saw someone in Kiowa at the PGA Championship one year, which is like you're walking through the beach, honestly, like it's half beach.
Yeah.
Wearing like, oh, they were like open-toed cowboy boots, kind of like they had like a heel. And I was
cute, just like, yeah, but
yes. No. But I was like, girl, you're going to be hurting so bad. No, but especially in Augusta, like every person that I that asks me, I tell them comfortable shoes. Like you
wear sensible shoes.
Yeah.
if a fix-all sneaker. I prefer an Air Force One, or there's a, I forget what it's called, the Adidas ones that are have that, like the extra little cushy.
Yes. And I think
any of those.
Someone I think had seen your video and then called you out and was like, I saw your video. And yeah.
Just making a difference, helping the people one Instagram video at a time.
Yes. It does help. It does help.
Good.
Well, now that you have gone, if you had to tell someone like, hey, this is what you like should wear to Augusta, put together an outfit, like what would you recommend? You know, if you can give sensible fashion advice to someone who is going to the first time.
Well, let's say that the weather is nice and you don't have to worry about rain, or if it's like, let's say it's 82 degrees, partly cloudy, that type of day. I would like find something that's very cute and maybe has green accents or has some sort of something that matches the green theme. I love a tennis dress with nice shoes, nice like Air Force One, thick sneakers type of thing, Air Maxes, and like a wide brim hat. If you want to get a little fancier, you can do a wide leg trouser with like a cute blouse or like a sleeveless shirt of some, you know, like a night, you don't have to go golf clothes. Like, this isn't the Kentucky Derby, but this is also not, the driving range. Like you can be a little bit fancier. And I'm also like kind of extra as a human being. So like I wore these like Argyle wide leg trousers with the matching shirt and a wide brim hat. And, that's like part of my personal style. But if you want to like blend in a little bit more, like a very cute, you know, tennis dress, an aloe yoga dress, anything like that, that makes you happy and comfortable, because you're going to be, like, you don't want to leave. You're going to be walking around all day long. So something that you can, feel cute in, make last all day. That's not going to be like something that you need to be fixing or anything like that. And just wear sunscreen.
Oh yeah. Sunscreen, definitely a big one. I think I feel you on the being extra for Augusta for sure. I think I mentioned this on here before. Growing up, we would get Masters outfits before we would get like our Easter outfits every year.
Well, I'm sure you don't need me for this, for giving the outfit. Right.
But there are people who, you know, they don't know. And especially like, you know, you ask like people who have gone before, and it's mostly like men who are like, oh, just wear, you know, polo and
khaki shorts and a polo. No, we're not. We're going to be cute. We're going to live our best lives. If you find there's a dress that I wore, from a brand called Cinca Set that was like a green plaid, but because it's not a tennis dress or anything like that, it doesn't have built-in shorts. If you're doing a lot of walking around, like it starts to get uncomfortable. So like if you wear like a cuter, like a midi length dress or something like that, like put on a pair of like biker shorts underneath, because that'll make it so that you can walk around all day, be comfortable, even if it's gets really warm or if it gets a little colder, like you've got, you're good.
Yeah. And the weather last year was every end of the spectrum. It was
the day that I went, it was perfect. So yes. I don't know what that means, but just saying. I got out of there before it got bad.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Now, speaking of picking out outfits and things, you know, which was it more difficult for you to pick out and like plan your outfit for the Masters, or to pick your Miss America dress, or to pick your wedding dress?
Oh my gosh. It was pretty easy for me to pick out my Masters outfits, because I had already owned one of the dresses and I was like, oh, this would be perfect. And then I saw the other one there's a brand called The Upside. It's an Australian brand. Mm-hmm. And they're mostly known for like activewear and leggings, but they just got into club sports, and they had those wide leg trousers, and I saw it on their website, immediately ordered it, because I just was like, oh, like I have to have this.
Right. You're like, yeah.
Yeah, this is perfect for golf, like being a little bit chic at a golf tournament, like that's it. My Miss America dress was we had to use a sponsor at the time, Tony Bowles. So it was kind of limited to what I could actually do. So that was easy enough. I absolutely hated the wedding dress process, because I've been lucky to wear some like beautiful gowns through Miss America. And I just felt like every wedding dress I was trying on just looked like a pageant dress to me. Mm. And it was just hard to find something that I felt like wasn't something that I'd seen before, worn before, or felt pageanty or whatever. So the dress I ended up with, I love. I still, I don't know. I wasn't like, I never had that, you know, people are like, oh my God, you just know, or like, you're blown away by this. Dress, like, yeah. Like, this is perfect.
I think that's
like,
manufactured. They make
it. That's manufactured. Yeah. I never had that. Like, oh my God. Like, it's a dress.
Yeah.
So that was probably the most difficult one for me.
Well, before we go, I want to do a quick round of like master's favorites, and get through the, you know, our obvious ones, and kind of get some hits here. Let's start with the big one, the pimento cheese or the egg salad.
The pimento cheese, but I love the egg salad too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm an equal opportunity sandwich consumer. So it's just like a thin margin. If you ask me tomorrow, I might say egg salad. I don't know. Today it's pimento cheese.
Did you ever try the, like the mixing them where you did the like,
yes. So I didn't do the pimento cheese and egg salad mix because it was too much mushiness, but I did the half a pimento cheese and half a chicken salad. Yeah,
that's where it's at. Yes.
That is where it's at. Let me tell you, I had like three of those. It was delicious.
Yep. A hack that I shared with our listeners last year for, because there are some people who are like, I love the pimento cheese. It's just too much. Like, it's just they put too much on it there. You get a pimento cheese sandwich and you get a bag of just the plain. They used to have crackers, but they don't anymore. But just the plain Lay's, because there's salt to them. And then you like, you just use the Lay's to scoop the pimento cheese off like a dip until there's enough that you want. And then you eat the sandwich like normal.
I'm like salivating right now. Next question.
Still on the sandwich, the ham and cheese on rye or the club?
The club. I don't like ham and cheese.
Yeah. Some people, well, I think it's the rye that gets some people. It's like if they would just do the ham and cheese on just a regular bread, but.
I like rye bread. I just don't, I'm not a ham and cheese.
Not really. A ham. Okay.
No.
Okay. This is probably an obvious one too. The peach ice cream sandwich or the chocolate chip cookie?
Peach ice cream sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like they also sell out of those like by midweek. So
I did get one and it was as advertised.
I do remember when I ran into you, I had just grabbed a sandwich and I like, it was my first sandwich of the day. Actually, I hadn't eaten real food. I ate an ice cream sandwich first. And I'm like, it's like 90 degrees already. And I'm like chowing down and I see you and I went, Kira. And I like have like a mouthful of, and you turn around. I'm like, oh God, I probably shouldn't have shouted your name as I'm like,
no, that's exactly how you should be shouting someone's name full of ice cream. Like, that is the way. I would love nothing more.
Favorite hole at Augusta.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Oh gosh. I don't know. I love them all.
Okay, let me rephrase it. Which one would you rather, play? And then which one would you rather
sit? I think can I just say Amen Corner, just because of like the beauty of all the azaleas and that little stretch of golf to me is just like, that's golf right there. Mm-hmm. Like that's the pinnacle of everything. Like if I could just play those holes forever, I think I'd be
all three of those right there.
Yeah.
To play or sit and watch or both?
Well, both, but I'd rather play.
Favorite winner you've been alive to see? You can't say Tiger though. That's not fair.
Favorite winner that I've been alive to see. I mean, 2019 is pretty insane. Just like that's one of those, like, I'll never forget where I was, like standing in front of, you know, that thing. So we'll set that aside. I really love Adam Scott's win. And I love the picture. There's that picture of him because it's raining and he wins in the playoff. And there's this picture of him with all of the cameras in front of him, and he's going like this
because and, they like do the jacket ceremony on the green.
Yeah. But like the rain is coming down, and it's just like that moment is so iconic.
Oh man, yeah, that is a good one. I forgot that they couldn't do the jacket ceremony on the green because it was pouring down rain. But he then like he wanted to go back out there though.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
This is your moment, buddy. You got to take it up, soak it all in.
Yep. That was a great one. And then biggest heartbreak moment at the Masters you've been alive to see.
I think Rory's near misses there. Like the year, I can't remember. I think it was the year maybe Patrick Reed won when he was close. I can't remember exactly, but like it, everyone.
11.
Yeah. Like that, and like probably the the year that when Jordan was supposed to, all of that. Jordan's heartbreak was pretty tough, but like because Rory's been so close so many times, or like he's just had these like that journey for him for him is just like, oh my gosh, like I hope that one day he gets it done just for like his own, you know. That would be, I know how much that would mean to him. Mm-hmm. So seeing over the years his journey and the ups and downs and the heartbreak, that I mean, I can only imagine like the shakes that he must get when he thinks about all the moments that have happened at Augusta over the years. So perhaps it'll happen one day soon.
Yep. Well, and that leads me to the final question. And I know it's still a little early, but to maybe make a, but any feelers, any picks, anybody you're thinking? I mean, obviously everyone wants it to be Rory just because like.
Sure. Yeah. Setting Rory aside, I could really see Victor Hovland winning. I think that he is primed for a major championship and his game really fits Augusta really well. And I would say a probably like lower on people's list, more of a sleeper would be Will Zalatoris. I think that he's, I just was at the Genesis Invitational where he had a chance to win the golf tournament and he's playing super well. He is a self-described major specialist. I would not be surprised to see Will pulling it off.
Well, Augusta seems to be a place where he plays extremely well. So, as long as the injury doesn't hold him back and he seems to be doing okay after coming back. So who knows?
As you know, golf is a crapshoot, so it's anyone's game, but those would be my two picks as of now.
Yeah. And Augusta is also a course that can pull people out of the woodwork. And I mean, last year we had an amateur in the final, like in the finals, you know, coming out of nowhere. So,
oh yeah. Sam Bennett. You know what? I completely forget about what happens
from year to year. I know.
It just like goes. Like it's constant. And you just shift focus. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that whole storyline. He lands back in Texas or whatever it was. And he's got his whole family there waiting for him. Yeah. That did happen.
Cause there's the whole conversation around what happens if he wins? Like, does he get, the jacket, but he doesn't get the money. And you know, there was all that conversation. And then like,
I think he would have been fine. He would have made his money.
Yeah, he would have been okay. Yeah. And then it didn't even matter anyway, because the whole conversation was around Brooks and Rahm. So
Yeah.
And then Phil comes in out of nowhere, ties for second. So who knows? Augusta makes anything happen. You never
know. Anything can happen. It's a magical place.
Yep, it is. It's a very magical place. Well, I thank you again so, so much for joining us. And maybe we will run into each other again. Who knows?
Who knows? I'll be there for ANWA this year.
Fun.
And then, so I'm really excited about that. And then I'll be covering our Masters in studio coverage this year. So I will be in Stamford, Connecticut, but I'll be a part of the Golf Channel's Masters coverage. So
wonderful. Yeah. Well, yeah. You all know where you can see Kira, and you can also follow her on her socials at Kira K Dixon. Yes, that's all socials. Okay. And you'll see her on NBC Sports and the Golf Channel. And you'll see her interviewing all of your favorite players after the end of their rounds. And who knows, maybe we'll see her interviewing some players at the TGL this year too, maybe. Or no, that's the start of next year, 2025 is TGL.
I don't know about that one because they're well, you never know what can happen, but it's technically a different network.
Oh yeah, that's true. Okay.
Yeah. But I have done some stuff for like I hosted the Boston Common Golf launch and like so I've done some stuff with some of the team, like LA Golf, Los Angeles Golf Club had an event around Genesis I got to go to. That was fun. So I definitely love the team cultures and concepts and the identities that they're trying to build. But I might just be a fan.
Yeah. Well, have you picked a team yet?
No, you know,
there's not a San Francisco team. So
I don't know. There might be.
True. We have a whole nother year. So they may be.
You never know. If San Francisco didn't have a team, that would be crazy because we have, I think, some of the best golf in the world and some big golf fans around. So I think it's a prime market for it.
Okay, well, Tiger, Rory, you heard her.
You heard her here first, San Francisco. You guys need a team water girl. I got you.
All right, well, thank you again so much. And you can follow her on, like I said, all of her socials at Kiara K. Dixon. And you will see her on NBC Sports and the Golf Channel. And you will see us again for another episode of Memoirs from Magnolia Lane coming up. And you will hear more from us at Golf Unfiltered. Thank you so much.